Hey.
Hey.
Do you want a drink?
Yeah, I want a drink.
How's it going?
Can I have some more ice?
No.
Oh, that's enough. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hey, it's a podcast. I'm Simca Fisher.
And I am Damian Fisher.
He's Damian Fisher. And this is our podcast, which now has not only a logo, but a title, right?
What's it called?
It's called I'll See Myself Out. Or possibly I'll show myself out.
We're not sure.
We wrote something down on the logo and I saved it. So it's, you know what? It's the I'll see myself out show. How about that?
We also investigated getting a theme song, even paying up to $10 for the rights to a song. But it turns out Dramarama wants a lot more money for the opening riff to anything. And I'm just not going to pay it.
I do not understand that joke.
I guess not.
I'm sorry. You know what?
It's been a long time since we've done this.
Oh, it has been a long time. And, you know, we're joking around, but I have to be honest with you guys.
Oh, come on.
No, I
made my objections known.
Okay. Well, I feel, you know, I'm the one who started this podcast and I feel like we ought to be open. We've had a lot of stuff going on. You know, people go through things in their marriages, people go through things in their lives, and it keeps them from doing everything that they'd like to do. And this is one of the reasons that we haven't been able to keep up with the podcast because of this issue that we've had. It's been kind of all consuming, to be honest with you. And
it's gotten out of hand.
It has gotten out of hand. I'm just going to say it. It's snacking. We can't stop eating snacks all the time.
Do people know how many kinds of cheeses they sell?
So many things that you can spread on other things.
and it's crunchy and salty.
Oh my gosh. And then you buy this bread and you forgot to eat it and it went stale. So guess what? You toast it up. You slice it up.
You toast it with olive oil.
You put a little olive oil or a little fresh ground salt on top. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
Smoked salmon.
Yeah. And then we discovered caviar and creme fraiche. Creme fraiche is so cheap, relatively speaking, with cheap caviar. Yeah. Like it's not really caviar. They found it in a fish.
Well, they found it in a fish. I need to make a whole new logo because that should be the name of our podcast. I have to tell you guys, first he got caviar. It was like a treat. I forget. It was our anniversary or something. And then he was just like, you know what? I'm going to get some more caviar. So he got some more caviar.
You eat it. It's the cheap stuff, but from the grocery store. But you get a little smoked salmon at Aldi because it's cheap.
Yep. It's all cheap.
Some cream and some bread.
It's all easy. So good. Yeah. Then we get this package in the mail. I'm like, oh, what'd you order? He's like, well, there's four jars of caviar.
It's not the good kind.
It was most certainly not the good kind. It's blue.
It looks like,
and it leaves like a blue residue, which pretty much means that they were just putting food coloring in there.
Or the alternate explanation is it's Smurf poop.
Well,
but it's so salty and crunchy.
I know. So I just wanted to be above board with everybody. If you could pray for us, because I'm having a really hard time thinking about food right now. That's how bad it's gotten.
Yeah. And we have a very serious need to remain the same pant size.
Enough is enough. We should get oysters.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway. All right. So here we are. All right. I hope everybody appreciates whatever that just was. We were thinking, though, that there are actual some reasons that you might not want to show your face in public, Damian. I mean, you know, there's
why do you say it like it's a me thing?
Okay.
What did I do?
It's an us thing. I didn't really do anything. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I refuse. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe
you'll have to remind me a little bit.
I'll remind everybody. My husband does the laundry in our house. And this is a good arrangement, which everybody enjoys very much.
And
there's a certain amount of static electricity, which You know, I feel like this is your story to tell.
I don't know what story you're talking about.
I feel like this is your story to tell. All right.
What story is it?
He messages me. He says, so I'm at the courthouse.
As a reporter, I go to the courthouse a lot. And I've recently changed working arrangements so that I'm actually working closer to home. So I go to the courthouse. In New Hampshire, the courts are staffed by sheriff's deputies who are all retired guys, or court security, who are all retired guys. So these are like Knights of Columbus. And, you know, they recognize me from Mass with the kids.
Yep.
And, you know, after a while, I usually don't have to, like, go through security. I'm not there yet, but, you know.
Yeah.
You show up enough, and they let you walk in with guns, whatever. Like, hey, let's go. Anyway, I'm walking up to the courthouse, and I'm putting my jacket on, and it's shift change or whatever. There's just like a whole bunch of old dudes in uniforms hanging out in the lobby, and it's all glass doors. And they're watching me walk up, and one guy's like, hey, you dropped it, you dropped it, you dropped it. He's like pointing. I'm like, what? And I turn around, and it's a pair of underwear. And it's not my underwear, it's your underwear.
It's my underwear. I'm so sorry.
Well, at least it was, shall we say, full bottom underwear with a little lace trim.
I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
I don't know either. I did what you do in that situation. You scoop it up and put it in your pocket and go on with your day like nothing happened.
Have you been back to that courthouse since?
Many times.
Oh, many times.
How's the family, Damien?
Oh, yeah. That's all right. That's nothing. That's nothing. I mean,
I mean,
yeah, I feel like, you know, I was talking to somebody about how nice it is actually to be, you know, in our mid 40s, right? We're almost 44. We're going to be 44 within a month or so. And there's just so many things you just don't give a shit about anymore. It's like, oh well, that was embarrassing. It's not a big deal. We go out in public. We go out. We can show our faces. We went out today. Date night. We went to the pharmacy at the supermarket because
we forgot
diabetes supply. Stuff, I don't know.
Do you really need insulin?
I don't have any test strips. I'm out of alcohol swabs. You know, boo hoo hoo. So we went out, and and they had the clearance bin.
They did, and they had Maltesers.
The saddest candy in the
they
world.
They are. Well, I bring them home, and it's like, are those Whoppers? Like, no, they're Maltesers. Well, are they Whoppers? No, they're Maltesers. Okay. But are they Whoppers?
Okay, but they are Whoppers, though.
No, they're Maltesers. Whoppers are Maltesers. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, yeah. All right, that makes more sense. But the only reason he doesn't like Whoppers or Maltesers.
That's not so.
No, that is so. And
I'm going to eat them.
Okay, that's probably
true. Crunch, 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 and you're going to run out of the room in disgust.
I don't run out in disgust. I pretend that I suddenly thought of something in the kitchen, and then I drift out quietly, and I make a noise like, oh, my back hurts. So like, I'm the guilty one here, and then I leave.
I know.
It's a system.
It works.
It's an ethos, okay? I don't know what you're complaining about. I really don't. My
nothing, I
gosh.
Guess. I guess I have nothing to complain about.
I guess not. So anyway, unlike the poor guy in the book with the Maltesers.
Oh, the human factor. If you haven't read The Human Factor by Graham Greene.
Graham Greene.
It's very green.
Yeah, it is the ultimate. I don't know if it's the ultimate Graham Greene experience, but it's pretty.
No, the ultimate Graham Greene experience would be like getting drunk and going to confession.
Sure. And the priest is also drunk and sleeping with your sister.
Yeah, something like that.
And that's how you really found salvation or something. Yeah. I remember the day my mother got disgusted with Graham Greene. Like, I didn't even know who he was, but she was so mad. She just had enough of that guy. So, and that's why he bought Maltesers, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, so they have one of those book bins outside, you know, where people drop off books and you buy them and then you donate the money. And
I'm just going to interject here.
Yeah.
At one point they were raising money for a sorority.
Raising money for a sorority.
Yeah, because it's a United Way thing.
Oh.
So it gives to local charities. So
it's
charity. Yeah, exactly. You drop a dollar in the dinosaur or whatever, and you can take a book out. Well, I'm there, And I'm like, well, they're raising money for a sorority. Pff, fat chance. And then I look and they've got a copy of Homer Price. So I stole the Homer Price.
No, you're terrible. You can't do that.
And then the next time I went back, I put a dollar in.
Okay. So. Was it for somebody else, though?
I didn't even look because I, you know, I'm not going to.
It gets complicated.
Knowingly He's, give money
you
to
You see,
a sorority.
I'm married to a Graham Greene novel. You see how it is, everybody.
Would you like a Malteser?
And then the underwear fell out of his pocket and then he knew. So. Anyway, they had a book by Malcolm Gladwell, and it occurred to me, not for the first time, that I don't know really, like, who or what Malcolm Gladwell is.
I don't think anyone does.
Well, I mean, with a name like that, he has to be, like...
We have a lot of theories.
Okay, so my first and foremost theory is, like, one of those, you know, daguerreotypes of Victorians with, like, square beards who's, could like, be, into some be. Kind of ectoplasm thing or something
oh,
like that.
Oh, right.
Like, he has some kind of obscure electronic thing that...
He's paying for the mediums at the seance.
Right.
Yeah.
And he also... And he writes poetry or something.
Yeah. He invented electricity before there was electricity.
But he used it to, like... work his picture frames or something.
I mean, there's also Sir Malcolm Gladwell, the Canadian prime minister in the 1840s who wore a bear.
He wore a bear. What does that mean?
I don't know.
He was not, it was not a progressive rock band from the 70s, the Malcolm Gladwell experience.
I don't think so. Although it does feel like most prog rock bands do feel like they go on for 10,000 hours.
Okay, aha!
Oh, no. All right.
You know something about Malcolm Gladwell. I knew it, you fraud. You've been keeping things from me, just like all the husbands in the Graham Greene novels.
Oops. Oh, no.
Oh, look.
Oh, no.
Guess what this is?
It's the insulin alarm.
It's the insulin alarm because we have to have our phone tell us to take care of our child. She'll do it. It's fine. She's fine. She's much more responsible than we are.
You notice the phone doesn't say, call the pharmacy.
I know, exactly. Phones these days.
So I don't know.
Do you have anything else to say about Malcolm Gladwell?
Does anyone?
I don't know.
He's Malcolm Gladwell.
That's all I know. I bet the book will still be there next time, though, because other people will have similar issues supporting sororities by buying Malcolm Gladwell books. Probably.
I don't know.
Well... Anyway, you were up watching a movie last night. Was it any good?
It was not. I
came in and I hear, you know, bang, bang, bang. Oh, you son of a bitch. Blah, blah, blah. Ah, ah, slap, slap, slap. Hitting the lady, shooting people. I'm like, oh, I guess I could be on Facebook now.
Well, you wanted to be on Facebook rather than watch stuff.
Yes, this is true.
And we usually watch things together.
I didn't mean that in an accusatory way. It was merely descriptive.
But when you're like doing stuff, you're busy finishing up a project, I will watch a movie that I know you have no interest in watching.
This is very chivalrous of you.
So, well, I'm basically, one in a million.
One in 10,000, I would say. I mean, let's not get carried. You're no Malteser.
Oh, you're making me feel like a pair of wet underwear on the pavement. You know
that?
It wasn't
wet. Come on. Anyway, Ed.
It was when it fell on the pavement.
Tell us about the movie, Damien.
Well... I decided to watch The Getaway with Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw.
Yeah, that's another one. My mother had a problem with Steve McQueen, too.
Well, she was right about that.
Yeah.
Because I've read about him. And he was a complete son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, he looks like
wife-beating drug addict.
Those guys with the light eyebrows, you cannot trust them at all.
But it's one of those, it's a Sam Peckinpah movie.
Oh.
Yeah, and it fully cements in my mind that Sam Peckinpah made The Wild Bunch... Pretty much it was a fluke because this is a cheap piece of crap movie. Fluke. It looks cheap. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's very TV.
Yep. What year was it made? Like 1972
or something?
Late 70s.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And
it had Ally McGraw's forehead in it.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And the plot is so stupid.
Yeah.
This bigwig is going to pay money to get some guy out of prison so he can go rob a bank.
Yeah.
Well, how about you just go rob the fucking bank? If you've got all that money, what do you need to rob the bank for? That's got $500,000 in there. You're wearing a gold-plated mustache or something. I don't know. Come on.
Was Malcolm Gladwell in it?
It did feel like 10,000 hours. Yeah. it's just not good. And I'd always heard it was such a good action movie. The action sucked.
No, it did. It really did.
The time was very sluggish. The timing was off. Where there was supposed to be tension. A lot
of long
tension.
Shots of things that you did not need to see.
There's no tension. There's no suspense.
All the characters are unpleasant.
Yeah.
Like every single last one of them.
It has no...
I wasn't watching. But
no redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
Zero out of zero stars.
Except for the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Malcolm Gladwell experiment was provided the funky fresh tunes.
Oh, funky fresh tunes.
I enjoyed that.
You had Malcolm Gladwell and Sam Peckinpah, and boom, you got a movie.
And boom, you got a movie. Corey, we had pumpkin muffins today. I try not to cannibalize Facebook posts, but this was just hilarious. We had pumpkin muffins, and she decided she was calling them what was she calling them?
Pumpkin mumpkins.
Pumpkin mumpkins. Not to be cute or funny or anything. That is what they ought to be called when you think about it. I mean, and then she says, and we had soup too. And she says, wait a minute. No, I'm actually looking it up. This is so stupid. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. So she says, oh no, I'm scrolling. This is the best radio in the world. Have you noticed that?
It's not
that?
The worst. We're both awake.
That's true. Unlike what's his name, Malcolm Gladwell. Mike Francis.
Well, he was listening to Malcolm Gladwell at the time, so you can't blame him.
She says, "Oh, now I have to look in my own comments." She says, this is some payoff. Let me tell you, you put your pumpkin mumpkin in your soup, and then boom, you eat your pumpkin mumpkin. It was cute.
She's very cute.
Oh, she's so cute. She's so terrible. She cried and screamed and sobbed all the way. Mm. We were talking about how, like, we don't know what a podcast is supposed to sound like because we don't have time to listen to podcasts. And people will say, well, you should listen to podcasts in the car. You're always complaining about how you're in the car all the time. I don't get to pick what we listen to. Sometimes we have to listen to the Frozen soundtrack. Sometimes we have to listen to the Moana soundtrack if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I just listen to her yelling at me the whole time.
Or you listen to people warbling Mamma Mia.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We had a kid in Mamma Mia how long ago was it? Not long enough.
10,000 hours.
10,000. Oh, my. Oh.
But it's over.
It's not my super favorite musical because everybody in it should have been shot. And I don't mean the kids. I'm not talking about the kids. Don't get me wrong. I just mean the characters in the play.
Yes.
Dude, awful, detestable people.
Yes.
And it was all about people who are acting younger than their age.
Being played by people who were younger than the people they were acting as if they were.
Yeah, it was really terrible. There were a couple of good singers in it, but holy mackerel.
Yeah, I mean, just the effort and the talent of those kids did not match the material they had to work on.
I know. They really put their hearts into it, and it was really crappy. So,
all right, we've now veered into reviewing High School Musical.
Is this what podcasts are supposed to sound like? I'm not sure. I blame Corey because she was yelling at me.
time to move on.
Yeah, we can move on. Just yesterday, Damien, you had something moderately interesting happen to you.
Moderately interesting is my middle name.
It's true. I was sitting in the dining room and I was tappa-tappa typing up a interview that I'd had with a nice pastor of a church where basically when he has free time, he just wants to mow the lawn because that's how he likes to unwind is by mowing the lawn. And it's just kind of his thing. And he's like, Mr., what you see is what you get, priest. And I appreciate that. So while I'm doing that, Damien's in the kitchen.
Talking to a Nazi,
as one does.
As one does. It's for a story that hasn't come together yet, but an unpleasant moron.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it away. It's the crying Nazi. Oh,
New Hampshire's famous crying Nazi. And proud we are of all of them.
Exactly. Oh. And, oh, my gosh. But... because of him, I had to sign up for a Gab account.
Oh, you
so
did?
I could track him down. Yeah, because like I had to contact some of these assholes, and that's the best way to do it.
Okay. Should I say the thing that you also signed up for? I remember.
Well, this was, again, for a story, and I kind of resent that I had to do it in order to talk to people. But yes, I do have an account on World of Rubber Men. glamorous world of daily journalism.
Because that was like 11 years ago.
I haven't been back.
It was like a GeoCities thing or something, as I recall.
Like I had to get into like the group chat to talk to people about something. Okay. I could tell the story, but it's kind of grim and awful.
No, we don't need grim and awful. No. It's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Oh, speaking of grim and awful, do you have any other Nazi comments that you wanted to make?
Is there anything else to say about the Nazis?
I mean, he was a jerk.
He was
from
stupid.
My end, I could hear. Yeah.
He was stupid.
Stupid and a jerk.
Yep. And then, of course, I'm going to now that I have a Gab account, I start, who else is here?
Oh.
Hi, Steve.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, well, whatever. People,
you'd
people
figure,
can scrub
you could figure
their,
that out.
Whatever. Anyway, I had to ended up writing about multi-level marketers today because
or were you writing about men who love men?
No, I wasn't. Damn it. I know what hashtags are, and I use hashtags, and multi-level marketing has the hashtag MLM, and everybody knows this, and this is a thing.
Yes.
So I'm writing it out, and we're getting ready to, we're struggling with our microphones.
Yeah.
And my teenage daughter, she's not even a teenager. She's
a 20-year-old college smart.
Messages me. She says, I feel compelled to tell you that MLM stands for men loving men. I'm like, come on. I didn't know that. But in my circles.
And yet you're married to the guy who's got a world of rubber men.
Yeah.
You don't know
that. Yeah. So this is what happens when you listen to this podcast. You find out all kinds of things that, number one, you didn't want to know, and number two, aren't super true, but.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Out of context.
Out of context.
Like, much like a Malteser. It's all about context.
I remember, making your father really angry because. Because of me, he had to explain to Ema what a snuff film is.
Of all the things for my father to resent about you.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure there's a bit longer list than that, but still.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I have to say, can I do a little teaser? I'm working on an interesting story for America Magazine. I'm working on a story about Hebrew Catholics. What the hell? Basically, that's the.
I've often thought that.
Yeah, no, I know, and you're getting the hang of it. It's going to be interesting. I'm interviewing a bunch of people. I interviewed my father. He told me some things that I had never heard before, and he said that he had never met a non-Jew until he was in, I think he said, eighth grade or something like
really?
That. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine? Huh. I mean, he grew up in Brooklyn, and it was just wall-to-wall Jews, So,
wow.
I know. I just didn't know. He told me a lot of interesting things, so I hope it's going to be an interesting article. So keep your eyes peeled, as my mother would say, for some reason. Oh. speaking of peeling things. I don't know. Segway. Thanksgiving is coming up. Damien's basically working at home now. This is why he's in our kitchen talking to Nazis.
Right.
And
because usually I would be in an office doing that.
Yeah. And usually he would sign up for Thanksgiving. Putatively, so that he could have Christmas off, because he would say, well, I'll fall on my sword. I'll volunteer to work for Thanksgiving. And then he would say, well, you can have Christmas off. And that would work out.
Right.
Real life, because he doesn't like Thanksgiving. Nobody likes Thanksgiving. Who likes Thanksgiving?
It's
what's I'll like
be,
about it?
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I like you.
Yeah, I like you
I
too.
Like our kids.
Yep, they're all right.
And everyone else in the world can just fuck off.
everybody listening excluded.
No, well,
they're paying us, Damien, damn it.
Did any of those people, you mentioned caviar.
Yeah.
On Facebook, did any of those people send us blue caviar?
No, but on the other hand, you did send blue caviar, and it was kind of weird.
Exactly.
Who's the Malcolm Gladwell now? Is all I'm saying.
Well, all I'm saying is, for a lot of emotional self care reasons, it was just better for me not to be in the house on Thanksgiving some years.
Okay, you said emotional self care into a microphone.
Yes,
and that's how it goes when you're in your 40s. So. Are we wrapping this up? Are we going to see ourselves out at some point?
Well,
I normally, if there's anybody who's a new listener for whatever reason, I can't even imagine that we have anybody listening to this. I wouldn't listen to this. I would rather listen to somebody shouting at me all the way into all the way to school. But normally at the end of the podcast, I read a poem just to sort of salvage things a little bit. But I'm not going to do that this time. Because I couldn't find one. Actually, I had a poem, but it turned out to be too long, so I'm going to save it for another time. But I do have a joke instead, which is a sort of poetry. It's a poetry of a different quadrant of your brain.
Boy, you are stretching this. This is.
Do you want to hear the joke or not?
I think I need to. Yeah. All right,
do you have anything else to say? Because I'm gonna turn off your microphone.
No, you can't turn my microphone off.
I can.
You don't, no, you don't know how to work the machine.
I can close your.
Then you turn your microphone off.
All right.
You turn your microphone off.
Do you want me to tell the joke?
Tell it, please. All
right. I'm just going to read it. I stole it off the internet. The Pope and the chief rabbi of Israel were once teasing each other about the restrictions of their religion. The Pope said, "May I ask, Rabbi, if you've ever enjoyed a ham sandwich? It really is delicious." And the rabbi answered, "No, Your Holiness, it is forbidden to me. But may I inquire, have you ever slept with a woman?" And the Pope said, "No, of course not. My position does not allow it." And the rabbi responded, "Well, let me tell you, it beats the hell out of a ham sandwich."
Oh, boy.
All right, I'll see myself out.
Oh, boy.